Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Series 2, Episode 23 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast with me, Harry Robinson, as we secure one final at Wembley and take a step closer to another one at the supposed home of football. We welcome the Press Association's chief football writer, Simon Peach, to the show as my co-host, Jack Tate, has a small holiday after a week of exams. We'll be joined by Simon in just a few moments, but we'll also have our weekly extensive youth and loan roundup as the under-18s score 5 against Sunderland, and there are debuts for Axel Tuanzebe and goalkeeper Joel Pereira, both of whom I'll tell you a bit more about. Thank you for giving us your time, Simon. We'll start off with a Wigan match, of course. A slightly dull and unimpressive first 50 or 60 minutes, but after a couple of changes from Marino, a good win and an overall good atmosphere with two academy debutants, the first under Marino, and four goals, including one for the adored Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Yeah, it was one of those games where for the first half I was thinking, and people won't like me for saying this, but I'm sure I wasn't alone thinking it, that I was thinking, this reminds me of a certain Dutch manager this first half.
Yeah.
A lot of possession, not a lot of cut and thrust, a little bit of just something was missing. But and credit to Wigan. Credit's got to go to Wigan as well. Warren Joyce has got them starting to play well. They came into the match on a three-match winning streak, and they looked solid. They looked well-drilled. They weren't as threatening as they could have been, and they obviously paid for that in the end. And Fellaini doing what Fellaini does best, towering above someone and heading in for close range, got United out of jail heading into half-time. Well, not out of jail, but like just it punctured that tension that was building. In the second half, Martial, who was ineffective through the middle, did well on the wing, I thought, and obviously provided the assist for Chris Smalling to score a similar goal to Fellaini. Lovely attack, counter-attacking move for Mkhitaryan. And then it was all kind of done and dusted, wasn't it? By the time that Bastian capped his his return quite memorably. And yeah, as you said, two debutants. I mean, Axel, we've heard about for a long time. He's the young player of the year at the club, and it's good that he's finally got his chance. I thought he'd come sooner. He hasn't. But hopefully he'll get a chance to kick on now. And Pereira is an interesting one. I don't know whether this is the kind of thing that if it had happened against Mourinho, you'd kind of think he would complain about it being disrespectful, bringing a goalkeeper on, because Romero didn't appear injured to me. Perhaps I'm wrong. But given he knows Joyce and Joyce knows Pereira, I think he would have given that the okay. So it was nice to see two debutants. Mourinho could add him to his list that he had at the start of the season of young players to get a chance out of him, even if they are for a combined 25 minutes for the pair of them. So a good day. Bit of a nice to have Bastian score. Whether that's his last appearance for the club, it doesn't sound like it. It will be, but as fourth round goes, and as we saw with other clubs, United made changes, but they got through quite comfortably.
Yeah, we're big youth advocates on this podcast. Listeners will know that, and I was delighted to see Axel make his debut, because we saw, in fact, it was against Wigan in that pre-season friendly before pre-season, if you like. We saw Tuanzebe play, and Mourinho went on to name drop him in multiple press conferences. But since then, he's been with the under-23s, training with the first team, but captaining the under-23s. And it's, for him, I expected it to come much sooner. I was expecting it, in fact, to come in that Europa League group stage, because he dominates the game so much under 23 level. I don't know how much of it you get to see with your busy schedule, but I can't get to most under 23 games because unfortunately I live in the South, but, I saw him away at Spurs. I've seen him in the flesh once, and he just, certainly at that level, and I'm hoping we're going to see it as we saw in little spells on Sunday. He makes his teammates just look better because of his composure and because of the on the ball ability he has. I know on social media, on Twitter, there was a video doing the rounds of him against Liverpool running up the entire pitch to assist. In terms of the debuts, obviously it's not the most competitive game to come into, and I was a bit disappointed that he only brought them on when we were in comfortable position. I prefer, as much of a disrespect as it is competition, I don't know if you think it is disrespectful, I prefer young players to be thrown in there right away, given a proper challenge. Would you agree on that?
Well, as a Southampton fan, I think there's a balance. Obviously, the club that I support is well ingrained in youth development. And back in 2008 and 9, when Saints were relegated from the Championship, they lent too heavily on youth. And in fact, they stunted the career of lots of talented young players that have fallen down the leagues, whereas were more than comfortable Championship players. The other day, I fear they might have done the same when they got beat 5-0 by Arsenal. So I think Jose could have given a youth a chance from the start yesterday. I agree, especially Axel. But at the same time, you do want to, especially at a club like United, it's not, there's different levels of expectation and pressures to a club like Southampton, which is why someone like Luke Shaw can develop so quickly and so impressively. I think he could have started him, but I wouldn't have brought lots and lots of people in because it could be detrimental. Imagine if United had lost yesterday. Where would the focus have gone? It would have gone on the young players. Okay, United made sweeping changes, but those changes were a World Cup winner. They were veteran internationals.
Two World Cup winners, I think.
Yeah. It's not bad to bring in.
Yeah.
So I think, I would like to have seen Axel, as you said, play in the Europa League. I'm not really sure why he didn't, to be honest.
In terms of that squad depth, obviously we've brought in Schweinsteiger, World Cup winner, you've got Juan Mata there, and you've got someone like Wayne Rooney, and then Romero is certainly a suitable backup goalkeeper, and it was also good to see Joel Pereira. He's I know that he's worked immensely hard over the last 2 years to improve himself in training, and it's really paying off for him. He did fantastically on loan in Portugal. In terms of squad depth, do you think as we chase for the top four, which is becoming quite frustrating as other teams, our rivals, drop points and Liverpool lose to Swansea and we end up drawing with Stoke. Do you think that squad depth's gonna play a large part, or because Liverpool have no other competitions, do you think it's basically futile?
Well, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we saw what happened that season when Liverpool weren't in competitions before and they pushed it right to the wire for the title. And Chelsea are in the same position. I think what they have in the lack of competitions to concern themselves with and juggle is one thing, but United have a strength and depth that I think is unmatched in the Premier League. There is a player for every position. Well, there's a couple of players for every position, and there's that versatility as well. The likes of Rojo can fit in different positions and people like that. So I think United have a fantastic depth. I mean, the fact that Memphis Depay, who, okay, didn't show everything he had at Old Trafford, can only make one start in a season when you're competing in three or four competitions. That's quite remarkable. That says quite how much depth you have. And you should have enough. As much as Jose, and is right to an extent, to be moaning about the fixture scheduling, United, out of everyone, I think, have the capabilities to get through it. And you do have young players. Okay, it was a little extreme under Van Gaal when you're juggling the Europa League and having to play guys that have never seen the light of day again or have subsequently moved on. But you do have that strength and depth that you should be able to cope and challenge on all the remaining fronts.
Right. Talking about the first team again, Anthony Martial, obviously the centre of attention quite a lot in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, you're right. First half, through the middle, he looked not up to his best. But when he moved onto the wing again, where he's looked very comfortable in the last 2 years. Two assists, had a goal disallowed, rightly disallowed, but he looked devastated by it. It's been a difficult few weeks for him, but for me, I don't think the problem is that big. And I was watching the BBC's coverage after the game. They seemed, like a lot of the media, obsessed by Martial not smiling. And to me, it seems strange. I wouldn't picture a captain like Roy Keane caring whether a player smiles. As a journalist yourself, is that just the media latching onto someone, or does it actually have some merit? Do you think that a player not smiling affects their performance or shows something else?
I mean, I didn't see the background coverage because I was being ignored by United players in the mix zone at that point. but you need players to be happy, and there has been talk from people who well know these things that he has been frustrated or unhappy. So they're looking into his body language in that sense. At the same time, it's also natural not to be happy if you're not playing every week. He's one of those characters that is hard to get to know. As far as I'm aware, in my year or so covering the club, he's not spoken to the media, external media. He's done MUTV and stuff like that, but he's not spoken to external media. So you're trying to glean things from him that you can't get from the player himself. It's not like Chris Smalling or Phil Jones or people like that. Obviously, they're English, but they're just examples that, and they're speaking their mother tongue. But they open up. You get to understand their ways of working and things like that. With Martial, we saw this guy who was a relative unknown to most, come at an exorbitant price to United, hit the ground running, and then kind of fizzle out. And then this season, he's just been, I was going to say hot and cold, just mostly cold. And it's people trying to read things into anything they can get from him because he doesn't offer much else. So I'm not saying he's got himself to blame, but it's only natural that people are trying to get to grips with why this guy who was and is such a great talent isn't performing to his best, and what the reason is behind that.
It is an interesting one, and that sort of brings some more sense to it, if you like. Because, yeah, I hadn't thought of the fact that he has been very inward in terms of the media. And perhaps because of the attention on him and his external affairs, if you like, if you're trying to be polite. So, yeah, I guess that puts a different light on it. It just does seem weird that there's so much attention on his smile when he's, albeit against Wigan Athletic in a lower league, he's playing quite well in that second half and getting two assists. And another player, another wide player, playing extremely well at the moment, Henrik Mkhitaryan. He definitely offers something different, but to me it doesn't seem that different, but it's just the sheer ability to pull things off. There seems to be very little weakness in his game. The work rate defensively, I remember against Liverpool, he was superb, even playing as left wing back at one point. And the attacking quality, the vision, the football intelligence, if you like. He came out after the game and perhaps didn't talk to you, unfortunately, but talking to the BBC, he always sounds so intelligent, and he really gives you something else on the game that you don't really hear from other players. He's so nice to watch. Not just fun to watch in terms of skill, but nice. The way he sort of floats across the pitch.
Yeah, I was going to say, what class, you've obviously seen great players down the years at United. What makes him so nice to watch? What is so great to, from a fan's perspective, I'm interested, what makes him so interesting, like nice to watch?
Well, it's when a young Ryan Giggs, I didn't get to see because I'm too young. I saw the middle-aged Ryan Giggs, if you like, or not middle-aged. My dad would be very annoyed if I classed Giggs as middle-aged. But the way Mkhitaryan floats across the pitch, I think that's the only way I can describe it. He seems to use so little effort in attacking. Of course, defensively, you see the effort he puts in, but while he's on the ball, it seems like it's so natural. And then he pulls off something like that scorpion kick. But that's just one moment, and that's one goal. And he scored plenty of goals, but it's the pass. Every pass is perfect. Like that, his goal yesterday, brilliant attacking goal, reminded me of Ronaldo and Rooney. There's a comparison back to the old days of great players. A lot of players would mess that pass up to Martial to then receive it back. We've seen Zlatan Ibrahimovic do, a world-class player, in my opinion, and still, he can often get that wrong. Rooney gets that pass wrong all the time, but Mkhitaryan seems to have the perfect way to pass, the perfect way of running that just makes him not even nice to watch, but a beautiful player. Someone that plays football beautifully.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, I'm fortunate to watch players across at many different events and across Europe. And he is, there is something about him, isn't there? He glides everywhere he goes. And I don't think that Jose's got the man management right with every single one of the players that he's had this season. But I think with Mkhitaryan, he's really struck gold, really, because when you're spending 20 plus million, you're hoping you're getting gold at the very least. But I remember asking him, why is he not playing? Why is he not involved? And I said, is it because he's just not ready for the everything that comes with English football, whether it's the intensity, the schedule, everything? And he's not ready. But then a couple of weeks later, he said he's not working hard enough. And he's found a way of just poking him and prodding him to get the best out of him. And then suddenly he's taken off, hasn't he? And he has been probably the most enjoyable player to watch in the country this last month and a half, when he's been fit anyway.
A similar situation, I can't say if it's similar, but it was good to see Luke Shaw back. From your perspective, what is the situation with him and Mourinho? Is it another Mkhitaryan case where the attitude of the problem, or is Mourinho taking something else, or is it simply injury, as Mourinho seems to claim?
It's a difficult one. With Luke Shaw, it gets overlooked. Maybe the injury and the amount of time he was out wasn't overlooked, but the fact that he's only 21 has been. He's from the south. He's has a very comfortable life. He played for a big team in Southampton, but not the giant, nowhere near on the same scale as Manchester United. So he has that to deal with, as well as everything else. And sometimes people forget the human side behind the athlete. I don't think there's, as fantastic as Danny Rose has been, if Luke Shaw is at his best, he's the best left back in this country and is potentially Manchester United's left back for the next decade, which was the plan when they signed him. And that's when they signed him, they told the player, we're getting rid of Patrice Evra, who we all know how much he's loved at Old Trafford. They said, we're getting rid of him because we trust you. And the club still trusts him. He didn't look at his best yesterday. He didn't look at sharp. He looked like he was thinking about it too much. But again, that's only natural when you're doubting yourself, having got lots of little niggles and not played since November the 30th. I think he will kick on. I think United, if they're patient, will have a good player. Concerns over whether Jose likes him or not. I think Jose is clever enough to know that if he's got a good player, you make the most out of the player. I've not had any indications that there's any, that he doesn't like Luke as a player or a person. I think there's things that annoy him, as I'm sure there's things with the player that annoys him about the manager. But that's going to be the same throughout the squad. So I think it will work. I think it was good to see Luke back yesterday. I hope he gets another chance against Hull, because that's the kind of opposition where he can build his confidence, and that's what needs to be built now.
So you've had no indication that interest in Danny Rose or similar players is real?
Well, it's not that they're from colleagues have their own contacts, whether there's interest. I mean, clubs are always looking at other players. If they're not doing their job properly. Clubs are always looking at other managers. If they're not doing their job properly. So whether they're interested in Rose or not, I'm not entirely sure. And if they are, and having covered Tottenham and know how they work, I wouldn't expect you to be getting much change out of 60 million for Danny Rose. That's not a figure that I've been told, just looking at the way the market is now. So why spend that on a player when you have a potentially equally good player and potential or even better player already within your midst? It doesn't really make sense to me. I think the next 4 months, I think the remainder of the season, we'll have a big say on where Luke's future ends up. Just in the sense of, if it will become clear if Jose doesn't fancy him, you have one out and out left back at United. You have lots of players that can play there, but you only have one out and out left back. And he's an England international. He was the most expensive English teenager, or is. He cost a lot of money, however you dress it up. He's a very good player. So I think best for all parties that they focus on him rather than worrying about other potential players coming in.
In terms of transfers, we're about to hit the deadline, which has very, very little attention to it. Finally, we've got past the era of purple dildos outside Sky Sports. But in terms of moving into the summer, I know Sir Alex Ferguson always said that he knew his targets in January. Do you think that's the same with Mourinho? Certainly when it was reported that he was planning for the United job in January before he'd even got it last year. But do you think that the reports of Victor Lindelof, there's also, I can't pronounce his name, but the Monaco potential signing, is that signs for the summer?
There's been lots of talk. I mean, Lindelof was supposed to be signing on the 1st of January or whatever, and it's the 30th now, and he's not signed. So whether that was, they say there's no smoke without fire, but whether Benfica were furiously pumping it out in the hope of gaining interest from other clubs, I don't know. So, but yeah, they, as I said earlier, people will be planning. People plan a long, clubs plan a lot in advance. They will get a player and sell a player knowing that they have this one coming in or that one's available. I mean, Griezmann is obviously one which is going to be, I'm sure that saga is going to grow into the summer and go from there, unless he signs a brand new contract at Atletico Madrid, which takes his release clause to an extraordinary fee, which I don't really see happening because he only signed one last summer. So that one, I think, is one of the irons in the fire. Then you've got to work out how to play him in a side with Pogba, because that hasn't always gone well with France when I saw them at the Euros. And then, yeah, he'll be looking at strengthening throughout the side, because United have some very good players, but there are areas which could do with improving. Obviously, the goalkeeper doesn't unless David finally makes that move to Real Madrid, but reports have suggested that may have cooled. If Shaw does well for the rest of the season, you don't necessarily need a first-choice left-back. Centre-backs is always up in the air, but if Eric Bailly can perform anywhere like he did at the start of the season, I mean, Rojo's picked up, Jones is looking like a footballer that we thought may have gone. I mean, you go through the side, it's a strong base on which there is to build. So a club like United only needs to bring in people which are have potential to reach the very top or are already at the top. So, I mean, where Victor Lindelof fits in that, I don't know, because this was a guy that this seems to have gone under the radar, was on the verge of joining Middlesbrough in the Championship last January. Mm. He wasn't playing a game for Benfica, or very rarely, and they were ready to cut him loose for 3 or 4 million or even less to Middlesbrough, who were at that point were in the playoff hunt, not necessarily going up automatically. And a year on, and why is it Manchester United? So a lot can change. I don't know if United will be as active as they were last summer. I'm sure the owners will be hoping they're not for their back pockets, but I think Griezmann just it would seem a sensible fit, and he seems to have an affinity towards the club.
Pogba, Zlatan, Griezmann does have an interesting ring to it. Before we let you go, thank you very much for giving us your time. Before we let you go, EFL Cup final against your club, Southampton.
Yeah.
You're going to have to use both your head and your heart here. How do you see that one going?
Well, I thought Southampton were going to get spanked by Liverpool in both legs. And I think the same this time. Hopefully, my negativity brings the same outcome as a fan. It's going to be a really interesting game and an interesting day. I'm looking forward to speaking to a lot of the members of the 1976 side, which is not an era that Manchester United probably care about or want to remember. Yeah. But that is Southampton's only ever major competition they've won. And they beat Manchester United 1-0 with that famous, apparently offside goal from Bobby Stokes. But that adds something to the match. Maybe not particularly interesting from United side, but it will garner attention. And I mean, I'm guessing this is probably the least, as much as United are in the final, it's probably the least of Mourinho's priorities. He'll want to win it, obviously. They've fielded some really strong sides getting there. But at the end of the day, I think Europa League would be just as important, especially with this battle for the top six going on. As much as things have gone slightly awry in the last few games, and there was only a draw at Stoke when and they failed to capitalise, they have, the form has improved markedly in the league, helped by the fact that they're not drawing every home game anymore. And then you've got the FA Cup, and I think we'll all agree, apart from maybe the Southampton manager who made 10 changes, that the FA Cup is more important than the EFL Cup. So it's, I'm hoping United play the reserves on February the 26th, but I suspect they won't.
Yeah. And it's, in terms of the whole season, Mourinho's won the EFL Cup was, or the League Cup, as I still prefer to call it. The League,
I prefer the Coca-Cola Cup.
Oh, so for me, it was the Carling Cup. I think for my dad, it was the Smarties Cup. Anyway, there we go.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, or the Milk Cup before that. In terms of the rest of the season, how important a role do you think the EFL League Cup, Coca-Cola, Carling, Milk Cup could play in terms of confidence, in terms of asserting United's...
Laying down a mark.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's important from that perspective. People talk about how important that competition was for Jose when he was at Chelsea. But at the same time, he's been to Wembley. Okay, it's Community Shield. He's been to Wembley and won a competition with United already. And I think things are afoot far before any potential EFL Cup triumph on at the end of February that will make United challenge for the title more effectively next season. So I think it would be part of the journey to success rather than a catalyst for it. I think that United will be, I think United are on an upward trajectory regardless of if they win the EFL Cup against Southampton. So with that in mind, feel free not to win it, because I would quite like a nice day out at Wembley.
A strange thing for United fans is, despite our weakness over the last two seasons, even, well, it is four, but particularly the last two seasons, if we win the EFL Cup, we will be the holders of three trophies, which is astonishing. Probably a bad sign for the rest of the country. Anyway, we will leave it at that. Thank you very much for coming on. I was going to plug your various social media, but I'll let you do it yourself. Where can we find you on Twitter for more Manchester United and England information?
It's at Simon Peach on Twitter. I'm on various other social media channels, but people will have to work for that because I don't want to promote myself too much. But yeah, you will be, my Twitter feed has a lot about Man United, a lot about England when England are relevant, which is every couple of months, and the odd ramblings about Southampton. So if you, as long as you can handle that, especially in the next month in the build up to the final, then yeah, please give me a follow.
Please do. A recommended follow from this podcast. Thank you very much for coming on. Hopefully we will speak again, and hopefully, I'm afraid to say, we will leave you slightly disheartened come February.
I'm hoping not, but it's probably going to happen.
Simon Peach, thank you very much for coming on. So, excellent to hear from the Press Association's chief football writer, Simon Peach. If you're wondering where my usual co-host, Jack Tate, is, he's holidaying after exams in Maine, America. But he sent me a message agreeing with most of what we said in that little section there. He was also impressed by Martial and was glad to see minutes for Twanzebe, Fosu-Mensa and Schweinsteiger, particularly pleased that players were rested on Sunday rather than in the EFL Cup semi-final against Hull in midweek. He'll be back next week as usual. Right, time for our usual youth and loan roundup. It's been another excellent week for Manchester United's youth sides. The under-18s had a fantastic second half away at Sunderland, scoring four in the second period to beat the Black Cats 5-2. Goals came from Josh Bohui, then a free kick from Aidan Barlow. Nishan Burkhart got the third with a fantastic strike from outside the box, and good finishes from Ethan Hamilton and Zach Durnley finished things up. It was a weakened United side after a serious knee injury to Tahith Chong, the Dutch forward who came from Feyenoord earlier in the summer. Kieran McKenna, under-18s manager, confirmed that serious knee injury, but hopefully it won't be too bad and we'll get to see him before the end of the season. Adriel Gomez was also not involved. He was on the substitutes bench as an unused substitute after a little knock against Everton last week at this level. In fact, Gomez and the second goal scorer, Aidan Barlow, the goal scorer of that free kick, were ball boys at the Wigan game at Old Trafford after reportedly Mourinho sacked the usual ball boys picked from the schools in Manchester to replace them with academy players because they have better reflexes and are quicker, apparently. Interesting story there. Good that the under-18 players. A lot of attention on them from the media, but they're doing something normal. And the under-23s didn't play this week, hence Axel Twanzebe getting a chance against Wigan in the Cup, but faced Derby County just after we record this. So check our Twitter for that result. And of course, under-23 captain Axel Twanzebe made his debut for United, and goalkeeper Joel Pereira made his, becoming the 223rd and 224th players to graduate from the academy. A little word on them in a second, but first, an astounding stat from Tony Park on Twitter, at Mr. Mujak. Since 1939, when Mujak, the original Manchester United Academy, was founded, 50% of all of Manchester United's debutants have come from the academy, which is an astonishing fact. And Joel Pereira, the 224th player to graduate from the academy for United. On Twanzebe, captain at under-23 level for United, expected his chance to come much quicker than it did, expected him to be in the Europa League, as me and Simon said earlier in this episode. And it has finally come. He's a very composed, if you're looking for the cliche, the ball-playing centre-back. And as I said earlier, makes his teammates look better. He offers an option when they need it, to midfielders, to defenders, to his fullbacks, and they're very comfortable in giving him the ball, knowing that they can trust him. And obviously his captain, the most senior player in that side, and hopefully he'll get a couple more chances soon. Joel Pereira, an odd one, coming on as a goalkeeper, as a substitute. He was on loan in Portugal in their league for the first 6 months of the season and returned to allow Sam Johnston to go on loan to Aston Villa. He didn't play this weekend, as I'll tell you in a second. But Joel Pereira was doing fantastically in Portugal and did return to allow Johnston to leave. And glad to see him get a chance, because it was a little harsh on him, having done so well out there, to then be recalled. In loan news, Dean Henderson started a seventh consecutive game for Grimsby Town after extending his loan move at the Mariners until the end of the season, but couldn't stop Stevenage scoring twice in a defeat for Marcus Bignot's side. Henderson gave a great interview earlier in the week, saying that he idolised goalkeepers like Schmeichel and now Neuer, but wants people to want to be the new Dean Henderson in future. There were no games due to the cup for Sam Johnston at Villa, or Adnan Januzaj at Sunderland, or Joe Riley at Sheffield United. He is yet to play for the Blades, while Andreas Pereira wasn't in the squad for Granada for them in La Liga at the weekend. Now, as we said earlier, somehow we have another game against Hull City, who we've met for now four times this season, the third time in January. The first 30 minutes against Wigan looked to be another Hull. Another Hull in the EFL Cup, another Stoke, another Liverpool. Thankfully, we improved significantly, and we definitely need to carry that on and get a comfortable win on Wednesday with top four running away all too quickly. Paul Pogba and Zlatan Ibrahimovic are likely to start, having not been involved in the cup, although Zlatan was on the bench, as is Phil Jones, who also wasn't involved, and Antonio Valencia, with them being rested against Wigan. Unfortunately, we've got no questions from you this week, so that is all we have time for on Series 2, Episode 23 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. It was brilliant to be joined by the Press Association's chief football writer, Simon Peach, and we'll look to have more guests like Simon, who you can follow on Twitter for all the information on United and England at Simon Peach. That's Peach the Fruit. And remember to follow us at UTD Weekly Pod, and you can find me on Twitter at Harry Robinson 64. Check our website out, ManchesterUnitedWeeklyPodcast.com, for more. And remember to keep subscribing and leaving reviews. Shout out to Tom, who left us a very nice review on iTunes recently. Not sure which Tom that is, but thank you for that. Keep sharing, keep enjoying. Have a good week. Goodbye. Network.